Hello and welcome under the Kotatsu. I'm your host, Austin, joined as always by Danny.
Hello.
And Danielle.
Hey, nerds.
And we are back one last time to talk about Given, our favorite anime about boys in a gay band or gay boys in a rock band.
Are there others?
No. So, you know, favorite by de facto, but, you know, still very good, IMO.
Is Boys, isn't there like Boys on the Hill that's like a jazz band? I don't know if they're gay, but they're...
They're not gay.
Band.
That's that's a Shinichiro Watanabe show, so you know. I don't think I've ever seen that. I feel like that's for the last probably like however long that show's been out, perpetually been on my list of like, I should get around to watching that. Anyway, before we get into anime, shall we go around the table and see what everybody is drinking on this? Well, it's rainy here. I was going to say this fine rainy afternoon, but I don't know about where y'all are at.
It's nice and sunny. I'm enjoying the weather before it turns into a desert hellhole.
And what are you drinking to celebrate the occasion?
I just have some Irish breakfast coffee because I'm trying to do a lower caffeine day.
What about the Irish breakfastness of it? Like, what's the quality difference there between that and your standard black coffee that you would drink?
I've honestly got no idea, but it was like, the tea website was like, hey, look, funny leap day only tea. Get it now or wait 4 years. So I got it.
Gotcha. Danny, what are you drinking?
I'm having a faux spelled F-A-U-X, so a fox beer. It's a white stout. Tastes very butterscotchy.
Interesting.
From Saucy Brew Works, which I think is a local brewery.
Is it saucy enough for you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Tastes like butterscotch. And we'll be talking a lot about phobias phobic people today.
Yeah, apparently. I am drinking, because I'm here to crack a cold one open and talk about the boys. I'm drinking a lager, your standard beer. So let's get into it. So we watched two things. We watched Given the movie, of which there are now two and will be three, but only one in English so far. And the Given OVA, which does have the subtitle On the Other Hand. The movie is just called Given the movie, which is kind of lame, but whatever. Let's do a quick vibe check before we get into it. Danny, how are you feeling after finishing the movie and the OVA?
Generally positive, though not as positive as I was at the end of the original series.
And Danielle, what about you?
Generally positive, more so than the original series.
Yeah, that would be me as well.
My main question is, I've been reading the manga because I generally prefer the manga's pacing to both adaptations' pacing. Why the fuck did they adapt this section of the manga as one-hour movie and one standard episode-length OVA? I don't get it.
Well, my assumption, I could not find this for certain, but my assumption is the OVA was greenlit after the movie, and the decision was just, okay, you get a 60-minute movie, and they decided to trim everything down to just the Kaji and Haruki stuff that the movie centers on, but I could not find that for sure. I don't think it was, it doesn't seem to me intentional that they split this arc into a movie and an OVA. I think that's just kind of the way it worked out, would be my guess. This is the thing with anime adaptation, like the reason why pacing is so weird is because everything's made based off of like
production
decisions and and how much time you get depends on what you have the space to adapt. Because it seems to me like the TV series did better than they expected, and so did the first movie. Because it definitely doesn't seem like at any point were they going to adapt the whole thing, but by the time the last movie comes out, they will.
I feel like half the episodes on this are us becoming more and more radicalized to read the fucking source material with Bloomin' to You, Bakemonogatari, this.
So you're saying we've either got to become a manga-only podcast or only watch anime that is not an adaptation, which would be a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling that Danny's next pick is going to be a VN adaptation, so fucking joke's on me if I try to read that shit again.
Which adaptation?
Steins Gate?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I haven't decided yet.
Maybe I'll finally learn about Schrodinger's cat. Anyway, some quick production details before we get into the movie. So the movie basically has the same core staff as the TV anime. So same director, same writer, same studio. The only real notable difference is because it's a movie, production companies involved are slightly different. And the most notable one is it's produced by Blue Lynx, who produce many BL anime films. So you know what you're getting when you see that logo with the cat pop up in front of the movie, like, time to watch some gay shit, which, oh boy. Mm-hmm. As I said last time, at least I think I said last time on the episode, not after, the English Blu-rays are funny because the TV series has like a TV 13 or whatever rating, or I forget what it is. It's like a teen rating, basically. And then it's TVMA for the movie. Which is fun. Also, I was looking this up because I'm like, I'm high on Given again after watching all this, and I'm like, okay, when am I going to be able to watch this next movie in English? Or when is it going to get an English release? So I looked at how this movie got its English release initially, and it didn't get any theatrical screenings. They just dropped it on streaming services, which I think is a little lame.
Well, I think it was like released during like the height of COVID, wasn't it?
I think the Japanese release was late 2020. Yeah, the Japanese release was late 2020, but it went up on streaming in 2021. Mm. So I guess yeah, theaters aren't like all the way back then. So we'll see how this second movie comes out, because I would like to see it in the theater. That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I was looking at the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray came out like a year and a half after it dropped on Crunchyroll. So hopefully the second movie comes out on Blu-ray a little bit faster. So we can just get into the movie first, I guess, and then talk about the OVA. Or do you want to talk about both, because it's the overlap on them is interesting. I don't know, do y'all have any thoughts?
I'm fine with you in both.
Yeah, because it's basically all of one, meanwhile all of the other.
I could also probably wrap up the OVA in a single sentence, because I did not write episode descriptions, because I figured it'd be better to talk about the details in our discussion, not to try to put it all into a plot synopsis, because basically the movie is about it like really focuses on three characters. It focuses on Kaji, Haruki, and Ugetsu. We learn more about Kaji and Ugetsu's whole thing, how like Ugetsu tried to break it off with Kaji years ago, but they've really done a shitty job of actually stepping out of one another's lives. And so Kaji's kind of going through it. He gets kicked out of Ugetsu's and is like couch surfing / sleeping with everybody he knows. Eventually that leads him to trying to do the same with Haruki, who he knows has a crush on him, which leads to a pretty nasty scene. We'll talk about nasty in both meanings, if you know what I mean. Hey. And then, but the two end up living together kind of platonically for a while as Kaji tries to get his shit together. Meanwhile, the band is trying to enter like a amateur contest, kind of like a battle of the bands sort of thing. They're preparing for that. Mafia's writing a song that ends up being about Ugetsu and Kaji's whole thing. And then at the end, after the performance, kind of renewed with his love of music, Kaji moves out of Haruki's, lives on his own for a bit. And then the end of the movie is Kaji kind of asking Haruki out, and the two reciprocate. There's a lot more going on in the movie, but that's basically it. It's the two of them getting together and Kaji getting over his stuff with Ugetsu, which takes up like the majority of the movie. And then the OVA is basically all the scenes of the manga they cut out to focus the movie just on Kaji and Haruki. So we get lots of little, it's kind of a vignette of scenes. There's no like real through line. It's kind of like, just kind of montage of mostly short scenes. And it focuses a lot on what Mafia and Ueno-Yama were up to. You know, me and Danny were talking about it before we recorded. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of the like awkward first days of like a teenage relationship. Kind of stuff. It's cute, but not like as substantive as the main plot of the movie. And I'm trying to think if anything major like plot wise happens, but it's just kind of like a lot of like here's little bits and pieces that you didn't see of Mafia Ueno-Yama. Hiragi actually shows up for more than like half a second in the OVA. He is there in the movie, but only for like a frame. And unless I'm missing anything, that's basically the OVA.
Well, and they have like the Battle of the Bands or whatever the
you mean event CAC?
CAC. They have CAC. So that's like one of the main driving forces, I think, in both the OVA and the movie. I think CAC is in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the OVA kind of has them they lose twice between the movie and the OVA. So.
Yeah, you see, because the I guess to really lay it out, like the movie takes like starts in the summer and then wraps up spring the next year, and then the OVA takes place across that same chunk of time. So you kind of, if you watch the movie and then watch the OVA, you're kind of jumping back to the events at the beginning of the movie and then kind of seeing random scenes that happen throughout that, like, you know, 9 months.
Right. Because does Hiragi's band win?
That you don't, again, you don't see that in the, like, CAC, the competition happens, the performances happen in the movie, but you don't get the full, like, context of, like, oh, Hiragi's band is also competing and they end up winning.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, that's, it definitely makes sense why, if the movie did more popular than they thought it would, why they would want to do this OVA, because that's probably the most important plot detail in the OVA, because that launches into the next arc of the manga, is the fact that Hiraki's band wins and Given doesn't.
Right, that's what I assumed. It felt like the, yeah. not like, oh, these guys' stories are over, but it's like, okay, now we're setting up the new band to follow kind of thing, so that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know how far you are in the manga, Danielle, and this isn't like a big spoiler, but for context for you, Danny, I guess, like, what happens is Ueniyama gets invited to like play guitar for Hiraki's band.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know you can imagine the kind of conflicts that come out of that, of like, oh, is he spending more time with them and then Given, yada yada yada. So that's kind of what the next arc of the manga is centered on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I basically read through what was adapted.
Gotcha.
I also, like, the fucking thing is with the adaptation, like, the entire TV series and the movie plus OVA cover about the same amount of chapters, which, I think that's why I ended up liking the movie and OVA more, is because the show was just adapted way too slow for my taste.
Yeah, it probably could have been like 6-7 episodes and then the movies, but either way, I liked the series, even though it was a little slower, because I was like, okay, like, I enjoy all the drama. Though I will say, from the end of the series to the beginning of this movie, at the end of the series, you know, Ueniyama and Mafuyu are, you know, they're starting out their thing. Cool. Haruki is, like, you know, just got, like, thinking, like, oh, man, I gotta like start acting on my feelings towards Kaji, because like I'm not okay with unreciprocated love, actually. And Kaji's kind of like, oh, you know, I am in this, you know, toxic relationship with Ugetsu. But by God, at the beginning of this movie, Kaji is like going fucking through it. He is like on a spiral borderline feels unmotivated, or like kind of like extreme jumps. But then at the same time, I know people who, when they are in like that kind of toxic relationship with like a significant other, after they decide I'm gonna break this off, they do spiral in this way, which for me, I'm like, damn, he keeps hurting Haruki's feelings, especially when he like admits, like, or he says like, I know you're in love with me. It's like, damn, dude, like, then you're really hurting his feelings.
Yeah. Like, which I said, it's nasty.
Right.
And you can't see it, but I'm doing the shakas right now.
For me, I want to like root for characters to get together in a romance. And that doesn't mean that I can't think one person's like being shitty towards another. That's fine. You know, they kind of work if it works out at a certain point or whatever. But if I were Haruki's pal, I'd be like, dude, this guy is such a... you can't go out with him. Oh, my God. Like, he hurt you so much. Up to and including, depending on your language, may have assaulted him. Dubious assault. It's kind of messy and ambiguous to a certain extent, which is fine. But I would just be like, oh, honey, no.
It would be fun if like, Take, because Take's the person, like, Haruki goes to once things start to get sour. We can talk about that scene. But it'd be fun if there was, like, a bit where, or if, like, he's checking in with Take every now and then, and Take's like, you're not going to let him move in with you. Oh, my God, you let him move in with you. What are you doing? I told you not to. Like, having that best friend kind of character to confide in. It's like, dude, he's not good enough for you. Like, leave him on the street.
And I will say, he turns his life around. I don't know that he does enough to reconcile, but at the same time, I think Haruki's like, yeah, it got really messy there, but, like, we turned it around. But, like, once, I was really glad once he was, like, he finally cut things off with Ugetsu, which was very funny that he got, like, that final tearful farewell. And I was like, fuck you, dude. I don't like you. Get out of here. But they finally separate forever completely, I assume. And Kaji starts standing on his own 2 feet. He goes to his parents to ask for help and like da 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 da. Then I'm like, okay, that's the kind of reconciliation I would want. And I feel like I kind of wish there was like a scene where he kind of sat down with Haruki and he's like, look, I was a piece of shit and I'm really sorry. But at the same time, I think it was kind of like, okay, they both kind of recognized that things got messy and they both acted in ways that they just like they didn't mean kind of thing. And he was going through it. So it resolved in a way I really liked. But there are some points where I was like, oh, man, Haruki, no, you're the peacemaker. You could do so much better. Don't cut your hair.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. Which are we pro haircut or anti haircut?
Anti.
I'm always a hater of characters cutting their hair shorter for character growth.
Even yeah, beyond that, it just like starts looking like every other boy's hair in the series other than Kaji. So I'm just like, ugh, you just look like a blonde boy now. Like he literally looks like Ugetsu, but with blonde hair instead of black hair after the haircut.
I don't know if I would go that far, but he's definitely less distinct. I prefer his original hairstyle.
Mm.
So, what stood out to me, because I watched this movie twice, I watched it in Japanese and then in English to check out the dub, and Danny, you were so right. Kaji's voice actor is fucking amazing. And also a lot of the like script writing stuff in the dub is very fun. There's lots of fun lines that are like specific to the dub compared to the subs. I like Kaji, I like Ugetsu. Haruki grew on me over the course of the movie. Wenayama and Mafia's voice actors didn't quite do it for me. I didn't think they were bad, but they were the only ones I would like firmly say I much prefer the original Japanese voice actors for. But I watched it twice, and something that stood out to me on the second time is he gets Take to cut his hair for him, which is right. Fine. There's like a line of like, Take, you cut your own hair.
But he has like a hairdresser friend, right?
Like, dude, you've got like a really good hairdresser. Like, you could get someone to do something really cool with your hair.
And like, you can like turn it into content too. Help your friend out.
Exactly.
And I will say, I do think that he looks less distinct, but I actually thought it was a genuine choice to have them have like the same kind of hairstyle. Because other than like the main bangs, like they have the two side bangs. I was like, oh, they look more similar now. I thought it was like supposed to be like a active
choice. I could see that. Yeah, you've posted the side by side. They do have very similar hair shapes, aside from the fact that Ugetsu's got like way more bangs.
Right. Yeah. That's the biggest bangs, thing. I forgot about Ugetsu's bangs for sure. And also Haruki has the little chin stubble, which is cute. But
the shaggy look.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, shout out to Take, who's just like,
yeah,
he's just hanging out, he's just being a good friend the whole time. Good for him, because he's like, he asks like, hey, do you want to help out with your ex-girlfriend's band? But it's not in like a scheming way. It just seems to be like, hey, like, you know, I have a friend who's in a pinch, and like, you know, you're a good bassist, could you want to help out kind of thing, and maybe also kind of get your head out of the given space, because it seems like that's weighing you down right now.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you need a change of scenery. Why don't you play bass for this other band?
Yeah, because boy howdy, Kaji does not like that being a possibility.
Right. Maybe we try to go through things in order. I feel like I did a good job in my notes of like putting out all the main vents. Something I like, so the beginning of the movie is like Mafuyu meeting up with Kaji, so that Kaji can take Mafuyu to a like orchestra performance that Ugetsu is playing in. And of course we learned that Kaji got the tickets for free through Ugetsu. Mafia's like, wow, thank you so much for treating me. It's like, oh, don't even worry about it, man, I got the hookup. But the scene starts with like Kaji getting out of a woman's car who we've never seen before. She hands him money. And Mafuyu, this is the thing I like of, you know, Danny, you were saying like, oh, it kind of feels like Kaji being on this spiral kind of comes out of nowhere. But I got a like part of this where, you know, Mafuyu thinks back to something Haruki told him about Kaji back in the TV series, which is like, you know, Kaji used to like have like a wild streak, but now he's kind of gotten that under control.
Mm-hmm.
And Mafuyu sees this thing happening of like Kaji coming out of the car and getting the money from this woman. And it's like, oh, it's not that he stopped doing any of that. He just stopped doing it around Haruki, which I think is like a fun detail of like Haruki thinks like, oh, Kaji's gotten his shit together in the last couple years. And Kaji has just learned how to hide it all from Haruki in the last couple years, which is fun.
Yeah. And there it's always fun, you know, in this kind of genre space where it's like, oh, my God, you can tell he has so much emotions coming from his strings. Throughout the performance, I'm just like, yeah, it sounds okay. It's like a normal violin performance. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a troglodyte or something. I don't know. But I just don't. I never get like the you can see the emotions coming from his strings. I'm like, nah, it's okay. It's good. He's playing it all right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like done visually in a way that sells you on that. But yeah, if you're just like listening to it, it definitely is like, okay, I've heard orchestra music before. Like, this is nothing crazy. It is one of those, I Shazammed it while I was watching the movie, because it's like, this is like one of those classic concertos. So if people want to know, he's playing at the beginning a violin concerto in D major, op 35, allegro moderato,
by whomst?
There's like five people listed on this Shazam. I think it's Dmitri Yablonsky. That's just what it's. But that could just be the soloist. Oh, it's Tchaikovsky. It's Tchaikovsky.
That's right. They literally say that. They're like, oh, did you like the old Chai performance or something like that?
Yeah, it's Tchaikovsky. It's the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra, I guess, is the specific version that Shazam thinks they used. Oh. Who knows if that's that's true or not. But yeah, it's like you've heard, even if you don't listen to classical music, you've heard this one before, I promise you. Very like famous piece. And then yeah, I think early on in the movie we learn about the CAC festival, which I forget what it stands for. It's something amateur contest, and the like first word is, oh,
it's like comprehensive fest, FES.
It's like countdown fest amateur competition, I think, because okay. Countdown fest is like the festival that you win a spot at if you win this amateur competition.
Right, because they're like, it's your chance to play, it's like an amateur's chance to play with the pros.
Yeah, exactly. And so we learned that it's funny because they kind of retcon, or not retcon this, but kind of like backfill in. It's like, when did we decide to enter that? And someone's like, oh, you know, the same time we were getting Yakiniku and naming the band. And it's like, well, we didn't see that conversation, but I guess that makes sense then.
Okay, good. I thought, I was like, did I miss that? Okay.
I want to say they say something about like Haruki's like, after they name the band, it's like, oh, now that we have a name, I'll enter us in some competitions, but they don't talk
okay,
about like
that makes sense.
This one specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know when this, oh, I think like maybe it's like Ueniyama or Haruki or somebody's getting really like flustered about the competition being a big deal. And in the dub, Kaji goes, yo, chill your shit, dude. It's just so refreshing to hear something like that, because I feel like, yeah, there's the meme, we've talked about this before for sure, of like the like, oh, like Crunchyroll fan subs are just like plain English, and then fan subs, it's like, yo, what the fuck, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's nice when characters swear in like dubs or in subtitles. I feel like there's not enough of that.
Yeah.
Especially when appropriate, which in this case, definitely appropriate. We get a scene of like Kaji's asleep in Ugetsu's basement where he lives, and Ugetsu comes home, and my only note about it is finger licking good.
Oh yeah,
he sucks on his finger. It's very good.
We also get, because like during that time I think they're talking about like Ugetsu's like, yeah, this is not gonna, like, this is not a good thing, but I just can't help myself kind of thing. And I think we also get, it might be a little bit later, but Mafu starts hanging out with Ugetsu a fair bit as well. And they start, and because that's a lot of the inspiration for the song that Mafu ends up writing, which again, people are like, wow, it's a musical masterpiece. And I'm like, I've heard this song from like a million boy bands throughout the, it's like, it's fucking Wonderwall. It's fine. But
okay. Well, let's not say things we can't take back.
Yes, that's fair. You know, it's so they kind of, he kind of gets to understand them through the lens of music. And like, I think through the, like, through doing that, he's also making them kind of hear themselves, I guess. Like, they're, it's like hearing it from an outsider's perspective, which is cool. And during all of this, Kaji again is just on like a self-destructive rampage, like, answers a phone call from Haruki while getting a blowjob.
Yeah,
which I was like, this is the point where I was like, that didn't feel like, because throughout the series Kaji's like, oh, I'm gonna ruffle Haruki's feathers a little bit and like get a little too close or be a little flirty, just to get a rise out of him. This is like the first point where I was like, oh, he's not doing it for that reason. He's doing it just because he doesn't give a shit anymore. And is answering during a blowjob, and just be like, oh, I'm in a shitty mood. I'm not coming out today or whatever.
Yeah, all the framing on that is great too, because like first you see him pick up the phone and then like you see like hands come up to his face and then cut to Haruki on the phone, be like, hey dude, where are you at? Like, you're supposed to be here at this meetup thing or whatever. And then cut back to Kaji saying like he's in a bad mood, but you see like the girl like pull her face down to his crotch, and it's like, and then cut back to Haruki and you hear them going at it. Like, it's great. Fucking love it. I have in my notes, because this is the second time I'm seeing that scene, but I have my notes like, finally some fucking food. Let's go.
Which I thought at first, and I know the answer is no, but I was like, wait, is that Ueno-Yama's sister? And I was like, no, they can't. It's up to someone else.
Yeah, definitely meant to be like a no name.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I mean, if you can't tell already, I love Kaji just kind of being an asshole, a bad boy in this movie. It makes like the transformation by the end all the more good for me, if you get to just kind of see him like you said, like spiraling out early on in the movie. I think around the time Mafia first visits Ugetsu, we get like a bit more of a flashback to like Kaji and Ugetsu's relationship, because we got some of that in the TV show, but not all of that. I think the biggest piece of information we didn't have is that Ugetsu, I guess, tries to, because again, they've kind of been failing at actually ending their relationship, but Ugetsu tries to break things off with Kaji because he recognizes that like they're suffocating each other, that they'd be better off without each other, even though like neither of them can actually like end things with each other, especially Ugetsu, we kind of learn over the course of the movie.
Right, and that's what was most interesting to me, is during the series, we get like a whole monologue from Kaji, who's like, you know, from the first time I saw him, like, I wanted to rend his flesh from his body and like become one with him and all this other stuff. And I think in this movie, he says like, and ever since then, I hated him. And I think both of them say that about each other. Like, I hated him for having like this talent or for making me feel this way or something like that. So it's like, you know, again, this kind of like super unhealthy thing of like, you know, you're making me overwhelmed with emotion and overwhelming me with such passion, but it's making me feel in such a way that I don't feel in control anymore. And I hate you for that, but I can't get you out of my life. Even so, because they're suffocating each other and because they're holding each other back and everything. So it is like, that's like the shit I really do like, where it is this messy, like, I don't understand how I'm feeling. All I know is you're making me feel a certain way, and I don't like that, but I can't help it. And it's only until the very end of the movie, at least, that we finally get it to be like, okay, hey, this isn't healthy, and we have to stop. And I'm gonna, like, I think he tells him, like, not to jump ahead, I guess, but like, hey, I really did care about the violin, and then that's the end of it. And it's like, ooh, yeah, ooh.
Yeah, because it, like, again, there's part of it where, like, Ugetsu's, like, realizing that, like, this relationship is good for neither of them, right? Like, Kaji is worse off for being with Ugetsu, partly because, like, he, like, is not focusing his attention on the things he was before Ugetsu, like, his violin playing and stuff like that. But the kind of through line for the movie is, like, Ugetsu realizes, like, that they should break up and that they're bad for each other, but he can't take the responsibility to actually be the one to end it himself, because he also still, you know, has feelings for Kaji. So it's only like Kaji finally getting the will to end things on his own that actually like ends their relationship. Like, Ugetsu kind of doesn't do anything.
Right, because Ugetsu, I mean, he even, like, so the reason that Haruki got kicked out of Ugetsu's place is because, like, Ugetsu brought back a new boyfriend, and Kaji comes in, can't like handle it, and Ugetsu like slaps him or punches him, and that's when he goes to Haruki's place and has like the bruise on his face.
Yes and no, I guess, because like part of what I like about the, you know, him showing up at Haruki's is like, the implication is he already like slept on everybody else's couch that he could, right? He's at Haruki's because Ugetsu won't take him back at the moment, and he ran out of any other option he would have. Like, I like that Haruki is like the last resort.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't mean like that's why he went to Haruki specifically, but I mean like why he got kicked out of Ugetsu's place is they had that fight.
Yes, yeah.
Because Ugetsu was trying to move on and like have a boyfriend or a fuck buddy, whatever their relationship was, And Kaji was, like, unable to do that, unable to accept that.
I think the implication is Ugetsu is, like, purposely inviting somebody over to sleep with him so that Kaji would walk in on them. And then, like he's trying to do things to, like, push Kaji away, like, purposely, because he won't, like, just outright say, like, no, you're not allowed to be with me anymore. So instead he's playing, like, mind games with him, which is fucked. Again, we love a nasty little bit. I also like a little detail about the flashback. I like that Ugetsu says, like, I think we should break up as he's about to, like, go on stage for a performance.
He's, like, handing him his violin, like, okay, good luck out there, by the way.
Yeah, and then fucking Kaji's face when he says, like, I think we should break up, is like, he's fucking livid. He's like, I would deck you if you weren't about to go out on stage right now.
But what happens when Kaji gets to Haruki's place?
In my notes, I just have, it's the scene.
Did you like know it was coming, I guess?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Also, again, I took my notes the second time I watched it.
Oh, okay.
But also, I mean, I've read the manga, so it's like, this was the scene I was waiting for.
So, yeah, Kaji is, like, you know, basically pushing himself onto Haruki. And, you know, he's like, you know, like, I know you're in love with me. Why are you being so weird about this kind of thing? And Kaji or Haruki the entire time is trying to, like, push him off and like, be like, I think he says, like, I'll do whatever you want. But, like, it's clearly being like, stop kind of thing. And then, like, cut to Haruki's laying in bed and Kaji's on the floor and they're discussing what just happened, which apparently is changed in the dub, because in the sub, like, Haruki says, like, well, I said I'd do anything, so it was basically consensual, and that's not in the dub, I guess?
The dub kind of, I don't think the word consent ever comes up in the dub, and I don't know if that's, like, a choice to be, like, especially because, like, I also don't know, like, what the literal meaning of the Japanese would have been. But I don't know if that's, like, a choice to, like, make it seem more ambiguous. But I think you could definitely read, like, I guess to be clear, like, the thing I like about the scene is that, like, there's a bit where, like after he forces himself on Haruki, Kaji apologizes. And Haruki gets mad, not, like, because he's apologizing for, like, trying to have sex with him. And not for the thing he's actually upset about, which is that Kaji won't open up to him. That's why there's, like, the line about, like, it was basically consensual, because it's meant to make you, like, realize, like, that's not what he's mad about. He's not mad that he, like, tried to have himself. He's mad that he's clearly going through something right now. Like, something is emotionally bothering him, and Haruki just wants him to open up about it to him.
Yeah.
And that's the thing he's mad about. So I really like that aspect of it. Especially like Kaji can't see that. Like Kaji's like, oh shit, I came over here and treated you like I treat everybody else that I'm like trying to have put me up for a night or two, having sex with them in exchange for that. And taking advantage of the fact that he knows Haruki has a crush on him. Like it's fucked up in a good way, in my opinion. I love this.
Yeah, no,
stuff.
I think it's really well done. You know, it's not, especially like, you know, we've watched other things where this kind of like, oh, they force themselves onto the other person happened, and like it's fucking gross. In this case, it's like it's messy. It's not. It's you know, it's something that Haruki wanted to happen, but like you said, he's upset of like how it's happening and like the things that aren't being told to him, kind of thing. Which is then he, you know, cuts all of his hair off, or not all of it, but cuts off his Rapunzel hair and kicks Kaji out. And Kaji is just, or Kaji's like, oh, like, please, like, I'll cook, I'll clean, I'll do whatever you want, which again is missing the point of what Haruki wants. Haruki's like, no, like, fuck you, get out of my house, I don't want you here. Because again, like, he's not giving Haruki the respect of like, hey, I'm actually going to tell you what's going on with my life. Because outside of all the crush and everything, Kaji is his friend and like he wants to be there for him. But Kaji is just pushing him away in a way that, you know, it's like, dude, after everything, you're not even going to, you're just going to use me and not, you know, let me into your life. Like, I thought we were more than that kind of thing.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's the fact that they're bandmates, why he even allows him to stay. I forget, where does he say this? Because I have this quote. I think it's after, maybe it's after, because everything about the scene is great. So, like, after they kind of blow up and everything, Haruki, like, leaves Kaji at his place. It's like, all right, I get it. You don't have a place to stay tonight. You can stay at my place. I am out of here. Like, I can't be around you right now. But like, stay the night, but be the fuck out of here come morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, after Haruki walks out, Kaji's like thinking to himself, and he thinks, why can't it just be you? Which I think is great. Because up to this point, like Kaji doesn't reciprocate Haruki's feelings, you know? He's still like shoulder deep in Ugetsu, you know? Like, he's still latched onto that. He doesn't even think about, like, Haruki as a real, like, relationship possibility. He's only just taking advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that line of, like... Because I'm big... I forget whatever else we've watched that it's come up before, but I'm a big sucker for, like, unrequited love stuff. So, like... Haruki being really into Kaji and Kaji realizing it but not feeling it for him, at least at this point in time, that's good. That's good juicy drama to me. I like it. And him feeling like it would be so much easier if I actually liked you, because that would help him get over his stuff with Ugetsu. And then, yeah, the part about that where, like, Kaji comes back the next day, or Haruki comes back the next day and Kaji's still there. Haruki's like, why the fuck are you still here? Because again, it's like, he's like, Kaji's putting on the puppy dog act and he's like, I have nowhere else to go and I'll cook and clean for you. But he's still being a dick. Like, dude told you to go, like, told you to be the fuck out of there. Not a great start to this budding relationship with them, but it is a start.
And we also get a conversation, I think, in the part, maybe soon after, where they're talking about, like, how in the band, everyone's a genius. It seems like Kaji's a musical genius, Mafuyu's a musical genius, because he comes up with all these lyrics that are so touching or whatever. Yonayama is, like, really good on the guitar, and Haruki's like, I'm just there. I'm just, like, an average person. Because I think this conversation kind of came up earlier, Kaji calls Haruki, like, the popular... He's like, oh, you're a lot more popular than you think. You're the peacekeeper of the band, etc. And so he's, like, talking about, like, how he's insecure about not being a musical genius, to which Kaji says, you're not a genius, and that's good. Like, it's good that, like, we don't want to have four musical geniuses in a band. We would be, like, all over each other all the time, or, like, trying to, like, all be geniuses. You're the one who's gonna, like, you know, sort, like, be the everyman who can sort things out kind of thing, which I think is cute. Also, I found a plot hole. Are you ready for this?
Oh, my God. Where someone sound the CinemaSins alarm.
Yeah, I know. Earlier in the movie, Ugetsu tells Mafuyu, like, hey, you can stay, like, I think he's leaving. Like, you can stay here and practice. The house is soundproof, so you don't need to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Later, Ugetsu is thinking about Kaji and drops a glass on the ground and it shatters.
Uh-huh.
Mafuyu lets himself in and says, oh, the door was unlocked and I heard a loud sound. So figure that one out, gamers.
Well, maybe he, like, opened the door, you know, because he said the door was unlocked. So maybe he opened the door and then heard the sound.
Well, I was going to break in anyway, but, you know.
Well, it's like, if it's a friend's house, like, you would check the door and be like, okay, it's unlocked. Like, let me shout down, like, hey, anybody down there? Like, relationship mind game one night stands have taking place.
Anyone scheming down there? But yeah, so I got a kick out of that. I was like, wait a minute, yeah. It's a soundproof home, you fool.
This didn't come across to me in the movie, maybe just because I'd read the manga before watching the movie. But when I was reading this arc in the manga, I was definitely like, oh no, Ugetsu's gonna, like, corrupt the shit out of Mafuyu. Just, like, do not let this poor innocent boy spend time with the man who's literally making, like, smug evil cat faces. Like,
the movie gets around that by not having him in the movie. So
yeah, Mafuyu, I guess that's true. Every so often
he pops up, but that's it.
Well, he's there to, you know, like, there's the band practice one time and, like, Mafia's writing a song this whole movie and he's, like, working it out with Ueniyama in the practice room and he starts singing placeholder lyrics, and the lyrics are, what's for dinner, udon or pasta?
Oh yeah.
And Haruki's face is like, please tell me that's not the song. It's like, no dude, it's just placeholder lyrics, chill. Not writing a song about udon or pasta.
Which, unfortunate, but yeah. I just realized that the you're not a genius, but that's good speech comes from a band practice where, like, they, after Kaji and him have like a fight and he cuts his hair. Haruki is like, I think Ueno-yama's like, all right, cut, like, stop. We're like really off our game today. You know, let's just call it for today. And Haruki's like, you know, oh, like, you know, all of you are like glistening like stars and I'm, you know, I'm just here. I'm just me. And that's when Kaji's like, well, you were looking down the whole time. Of course you don't see how, like, how you are in that band kind of thing. And then talks about like how he's not the musical genius, but that's okay. And then we get the plot hole alert, but
the purposefulness of the bassist and drummer falling in love, the rhythm section falling in love, not lost on me, by the way. Thank you. Love that. It's like he's literally like, but bro, you got to look at me. We can't lock our tempo in place if you don't look me in the face, bro. And then, yeah, we get like a montage of them living together and Kaji doing a lot of cooking. Like at one point, Haruki's like, wow, you've really got this freeloading stuff like down to a science.
Mm-hmm. And then they have like the final performance.
Oh, there's like more before that.
Oh.
I mean, there's a couple key scenes. Like there's the scene of them watching fireworks together from Haruki's balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really liked, especially like watching it twice within like a week, really stood out to me how, so like watching fireworks because it's like summertime and Kaji comments on, or like Haruki's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, normal summer stuff watching the fireworks. Don't you always do that? And he's like, well, you know, the place I was living at before is basically a basement, so you can't see the fireworks in there. And it really made me think of like the dichotomy between like him living with Haruki, where they're like on like, you know, like a fourth floor balcony kind of apartment, versus living in Ugetsu, where he's literally like living in a dungeon, you know. Like it's a little on the nose, but like, oh yeah, he's like literally like sheltered and isolated when he's with Ugetsu, and then now that he's living with Haruki, like, you know, he can see the horizon line. It's like, that's like, again, obvious, but it works. It's good. And it's also like the first real scene of Kaji like starting to open up to Haruki about him and Ugetsu. Like he doesn't like name names or anything, I don't think, but he's just like, you know, kind of talking about like, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm like still in love with somebody and but I can't move on even though like we both clearly need to, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, I like, yeah, it's just like I don't, it, all I feel right now is the hurt and I want the hurt to go away, kind of thing, which, yeah, it's really good. And I think, is it after that scene that he does go back to Ugetsu's place to get his stuff?
That's a little later. There's okay. Basically like one key scene that I have before that, which I have denoted in all caps by marry this man, because they're like practicing the full band and like Ueno-yama and Mafuyu are leaving and Kaji goes like, hey Haruki, like, why don't you stay and practice some more with me? And Haruki's like, why? And it's like, because I'm having fun, which is cute. Mm-hmm. So they stay late, and then they're like, they stay so late that they miss the last like train to get back home. So Kaji's like, bro, let's just walk. Like, it's like, what, an hour tops? Like, let's just walk. And I love Kaji for that. Love that energy. And of course, it's like the sun has risen and they haven't even made their way home yet. But at some point, Kaji like picks up a dragonfly by its wings.
Mm-hmm.
And is just being a little kid. He's like, but bugs are awesome, dude. That's what I'm like, marry this man now.
Well, and specifically Haruki is like, because I think he checks the time before they go and it's like 3 a.m. and then they're like, oh, it's gonna take an hour tops, and then it, like you said, it's the sunrise, and he checks the clock again and it's like 5 or 6 in the morning, and he's like, wait a minute, like, that's the first train of the day. If we hadn't taken so many damn detours, we would have been home by now. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. He purposefully went the long way.
And at some point, they picked up, like, a six-pack of beer. They're just drinking in public.
Yeah.
Can you just do that in Japan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Man, I'm going to move over there and become a bum.
Just sit in the park drinking every night.
Every night.
Oh, yeah.
Catching dragonflies.
I was in Osaka in American Village and kicking back with some beers, watching people who, like skateboarders, and dressed as like quote-unquote Americans, and I was like, hell yeah, that's nothing like America, but y'all kill it. I love it.
My people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was a fun place.
Yeah. And then time for the CAC not gonna be unfunny to me, the CAC auditions are like 2 days, so day one Given's not performing, but they're there to like scope out the bands. And Kaji skips so that he can go officially move out of Ogetsu's, like come get like the rest of his stuff. And I guess like attempt to break up with him, but it doesn't go well.
Right.
It just leads to them like having like a physical fight again.
Right. Because he says something to the effect of like, you know, like I'm going to be a drummer. Like I'm not a violinist anymore. And Ugetsu like climbs on top of him and he's like, no, like I can't accept that. You have to, the violin must be important to you, kind of thing. Which I think in this case, the violin is, you know, just a surrogate to Ugetsu. So it's like, please, I have to have meant something to you. And I think it cuts off before he says anything in response. But yeah, he is not thrilled with the revelation that Kaji's having of like, hey, I'm ready to move on. And it's not until later that Ugetsu accepts that or realizes that, yeah, I can't hold on to you anymore.
Yeah. After the first day of auditions, we get one like cute little scene between Ueniyama and Mafia, which they redo in the OVA, which is interesting. But it's like, you know, them just like talking about the bands that they saw and they like hold each other or whatever. And then day two, we get Mafia's song, which I was thinking about this because I watched it twice and also, you know, you kind of get it a little bit again in the OVA. But like in the main series, when Mafia finally sings his song, it's like the first time they're hearing his lyrics because he literally like got them written at the last moment. Is the implication here that they just never practiced the song together with with the lyrics? Because Kaji's like, oh my god, the song's about me.
I think that is the case where they're like, because the entire time that like they're doing the placeholder lyrics and like Unoyama's putting together like the rhythm or like the guitar part, and then I think Kaji's like, okay, I'll listen to this and put together it's like they put together the song in four different parts and are only now playing it all together.
Yeah, it's like they didn't practice it. Or if they did, they only practiced it in the udon or pasta mode. Mm. Not with the real lyrics.
I feel like so many band anime like don't show the practicing. I get it, but it does lead to funny moments like that where like it just doesn't make sense if you're a bit more into music.
Yeah, I mean, you probably read this real recently because I can't remember from the manga if there's like any justification for that happening, because I could see like maybe Mafi being like, oh, I want to surprise y'all with the lyrics or something like that, like just a throwaway like that. But
I think in the manga it's more explained that they have practiced with it, but he starts just out singing instead of like, you know, doing an intro first, and that they just have to adjust for that. But he's a prodigy, so he gets to do whatever he wants.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there might be a line, it might be in reference to something else, where someone mentions like, oh, like you start doing like la 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 instead of singing, like, you know, is that like what, like, you know, is that because you haven't written it yet or whatever? But I don't remember the specifics.
Well, the other part of it that works for me that doesn't have anything to do with lyrics, because Kaji is like immediate, like, oh my god, this song's about me and Ugetsu. Song's about my relationship that I really need to put an end to. But also, like, we kind of get this later on after the performance, but it's like performing that song live really like rekindles Kaji's love of music. Where he's like, oh, I'm like having fun again with music. Like, wild. I think he specifically says like he hasn't felt this way listening to a piece of music since the first time he heard Ugetsu playing violin. So like I think that's cool.
It's very ping pong.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Like, oh, it's fun to play, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, not in like terms of like level of quality, but like in the message of like, oh, it's like the first time I've actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I was going to go into the song in the movie. It's so much less than the song in the show.
Agreed, I think, but it's been a while since I've heard the show song.
It's just everything around it too. I thought the stuff happening during the song really detracted from the song itself in a way that it didn't in the show.
Well, and also in the show, Mafia was singing a song for himself, and it's like, oh, this is like the crystallization of a whole series worth of character growth, whereas in this, he's singing it for someone else, and so it's like, not as impactful for sure, but I enjoyed it. It was just like a normal, like, boy band song. I don't know.
Yeah, not as, I like it, but definitely not as good as the song in the show, in like episode 9. But the real hit for me in this movie is the end credit song. The end credit song is really good.
I don't know that I remember it, but...
Well, I would recommend looking it up because it's very good. I really like it.
Maybe I'll put it on the end of this episode.
Aha!
Ah.
Just the full 5-minute song.
Yeah.
Surely that won't cause any trouble.
No.
And yeah, also like the song in the TV show kind of works a lot better because you get the flashbacks with, you know, Mafia and Yuki sprinkled in, and you know the show kind of saves some of that development for the songs that it really like hits, which is good. But I will say like one of the weird choices of like it makes sense to me that they took this full arc of the manga and just kind of cut it down to the Haruki and Kaji stuff to really focus in on that relationship for the movie. Like that makes total sense to me, but you definitely lose some of like cutting out all the, cause that is the main focus of this arc of the manga, but there's lots of little things going on in the periphery. And you get this when you watch the OVA to kind of backfill in, but it's not that the song is just about Ugetsu and Kaji. It's also kind of about Mafia entering a new relationship with someone else, right? Like leaving his relationship with Yuki in the past and starting a new relationship with Ueniyama. And you don't get any of that when you actually hear the song in the movie. if you're just watching the anime, you only get that when it comes up in the OVA. And even in the OVA, they don't redo the performance. You just get a scene of Mafuyu singing the lyrics to Ueniyama on the staircase, which is a really good scene. But I think the actual performance would have hit a little bit harder if it's got both of those things going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, oh, this is about like two different relationships in the show and not just about the one. And especially because one of those is Mafia. So Mafia is singing about himself. You just don't know it when you see the performance. But yeah, I still think it's good. And then we get the goodbye, like the actual real goodbye between Kaji and Ugetsu, even though Ugetsu is like not not bringing anything to the table. He's like literally like trying to run off and won't even look at Kaji. He's like, fine, if you're gonna break up with me, break up with me. I'm not gonna be happy about it.
And then when he turns around, he's crying, and it's like, oh, but then there's no like which is fine, but it, like, I like that Kaji doesn't look back and feel like, oh, I'm so sorry or whatever. It's like a, oh, it's too late for tears kind of thing. Like Ugetsu, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. he's crying, but like that's the end of it. Kaji's not there to comfort him anymore.
Yeah. I think the stuff with Ugetsu is really sad, and a lot of it's like done in like subtext, but like you really get the sense of like he is a lonely fucking dude, and with Kaji out of his life, he's just gonna have nobody. Even though he's like, I can dedicate myself better to my music without Kaji in my life, it's still like, are you okay with like, you know, living a life that alone and like isolated?
Yeah, and that's the thing, like I don't feel as bad for him because it feels like he is trying to basically do the same for Kaji at a certain point, where it's like, oh no, like, because I want to dedicate my entire life to music, I need you to do the same, or like I'm going to berate you if you're doing anything that'll detract from your performance. And again, that kind of comes down to like their toxic, you know, relationship. They're not necessarily, it's not supposed to be like a good mentality that he has, but yeah, I absolutely agree. It's like, you know, he has nothing but his music now. His music and, you know, other people that he's going to use. He's going, because that's, I mean, that was his reputation in school. It's like, oh, he basically breaks you down and to the point where you no longer want to be a musician. So his life is going to be just him either hurting other people or just being like hurt because he can't get close to other people. He doesn't know how emotionally because he's so focused on his music and like, you know, can't not judge someone else in quality. Kind of, I think every conversation we have with him, he at one point or another will say like, oh, well, they're not really living up to their full potential, or like, oh yeah, they're not that talented, or something like that. And so it's like, man, he's cursed by his progeny-ness or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, it is a sad, sad living IMO.
Yeah, I could fix him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mostly thinking about this because so I read the manga as it gets published in English, and there's one final volume that'll be published in English in like a few months' time. So I'm literally just waiting for that. And I'm pretty sure the end of the last volume is like Ugetsu kind of coming back into the story, because he kind of drops out, I think, from this point onward in the manga, kind of purposely so. And so I'm like extremely curious like where he fits in coming back. But I'm pretty sure that's literally like the stinger at the end of the last volume is like, hey, Ugetsu's back. It's like, oh, what's going on with him? What's he been up to? But they say their goodbyes. It's very, very sweet. And he's like, or not sweet, but bittersweet. And, you know, Kaji's like, I'm not giving up on the violin. And so he does that. He moves out of Haruki's. And we learn a little bit later, he like, we learned that like part of the reason he's like been living with Ugetsu and like needs to like couch surf and mooch off of people is because he's like estranged from his parents. His parents divorced when he was in high school, and that kind of ruined his relationship with them. And that's when he first moved in with Ugetsu, which you can see how that could like kind of like lead to an extremely toxic relationship if you move in with your toxic boyfriend when you're in high school. So that explains a lot.
Toxic boyfriend who is a few years older than he is, and also is like his like the star student. So it's like he's the one who has all like the opportunities and stuff. So it's like,
yeah, hell yeah, love me some drama like that.
Some like power dynamic drama like that. Which like, yeah, totally, that's good shit. Good like setting for, or good reason for drama to start.
Yeah, this show or this movie in particular too, like, gives me both things I like, which is like a happy ending, but also like a bunch of messy shit happens on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. But yeah, he moves out of Haruki, moves back in with his parents, starts committing himself to violin again. He's like entering like competitions, like really taking it seriously. He's still practicing with Given and all of that. And so the movie kind of does a bit of a time skip, because that's kind of like at the end of the summer that he moves out. And then, you know, like Haruki in a voiceover is like, you know, and all fall and winter long, things just kind of, you know, went along as normal. And then it's like very beginning of the spring, which you can tell because the cherry blossoms are out. Made me go like, damn, I want to see some cherry blossoms. It's that time of year. you know, Haruki goes to one of Kaji's violin competitions that he ends up placing fourth in, and Kaji's like embarrassed that he went without telling him. And then that's when, like after the competition, that Kaji's like, hey, will you go out with me? I like this bit that like Haruki has assumed this whole time that when he moved out, he moved back in with his like ex, moved in with Ugetsu. And it's like, no, I moved back in with my parents. And like, I've been, you know, trying to like live up to the kind of man I think like you deserve. And like, oh my God, he learned, he changed. Cause you were saying before we recorded, Daniel, like, you know, like, oh, he really is like an asshole in the first part of this movie, which he is. But I think it's this ending is earned because there's that time jump of he's like, I think it's a real mature decision to be like, because I guess something we also like forgot is you do kind of see that like Kaji is catching feelings for Haruki, like as they live together.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, it's like after he first tries to break up with Ugetsu, where he like goes and like, I'm going to get the rest of my things. He like comes back home with Kaji, and there's like a cute moment that works way better in Japanese than it does in English. Where he's like, Tadaima, or whatever, when he comes home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'm home. And he, like, you know, puts his head on the back of Haruki and is like, you know, like, please don't go, kind of thing. There's also another cute moment where it's like after they come back from that walk home, it's like 5 a.m. when they get home or whatever, where they're like really sweaty and tired. And Haruki's like, I'm just going to take a nap on the floor right here. And Kaji's like, I'm going to go take a shower. And there's like a moment where there's no words or voiceover or anything, but like Kaji standing in the bathroom, you can tell like, oh shit, he's caught feelings. Like he's like, he didn't like him before, but he does now. And I love that. But I love that he takes the time to like, let things kind of settle and like give him the chance to like mellow out post Ugetsu. Like, I think it'd be real like immature to like immediately enter into that relationship. So like Kaji, like, taken a few months to kind of just like settle into himself. Like, I think that's really sweet.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think maybe my only issue is that it is like done in a time skip. Like, if there was a little bit more space for him to be like figuring himself out, it's like, oh, okay. But yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Like, I'm glad that he took the time. Like, cause yeah, it would have been awful for him to be like, I just broke up with Ugetsu. Let's do this.
Agreed. Oh, there's also another cute moment where, like, Kaji is, like, asks permission to hug Haruki, which, like, makes sense after the scene way earlier in the movie where he kind of forces himself on him. It's like, oh, yeah, of course he's going to be, like, overly, like, hey, can I be physical with you right now after all that? Because, again, it's like, you know, like, Haruki ultimately wasn't upset that he came on to him, but you can tell, like, Kaji is kind of rocked that, like, he did that to him, like, kind of just forced himself on him. And there's a lot of stuff like that, I think, like, in this movie that's got a bit of subtlety to it that I appreciate, where it's not just, like, the characters don't just say that kind of stuff out loud, which I like. And then you get the credit song, which I have in my notes again. It's very good. It's a very good song.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a post-credits, like, oh, shit, what happened? There's something in the post-credits. What happened? I don't remember.
It cuts back to them, like, on the bench or whatever, and Haruki says yes. Like, they don't show that until after the credits. And then I think there's a voiceover from Haruki saying, like, you know, I think it's time for me to give love another chance, which I think is cute because Kaji's giving music another chance, and it's, like, poetry, it rhymes.
George Lucas writes.
Yeah. I, in my notes, also lamented the fact that we don't get the follow-on to this in the manga where they get an apartment together because Haruki moves out so they can get a bigger space. Love domestic gay shit, like needing to shop for an apartment in Esta Economia.
Yeah, no, I love that shit in Yuri manga. I don't think there's any fucking adult Yuri anime, though, so never gonna get that.
We can hope, though.
Well, and speaking of domestic gay of relationships starting, all of the there is a big, like, meanwhile, because we kind of touched on it a little bit here and there, but Mafuyu, unless we're, are we done with the movie?
No, I think that's all I got.
Okay. Mafuyu and Ueniyama, they pop in here and there, but they're not really in this movie other than to react to things that are going on. Like, their relationship doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, basically during all of this, Mafuyu and Ueniyama's relationship is starting out. They are kind of feeling everything out because, you know, they're it's like a new relationship. And they're, you know, at least for Mafuyu, his first relationship with another guy. And or sorry, not for Mafuyu, for Ueniyama. You know, Mafuyu is kind of new to the whole, like, or new to his return to, like, feeling, like, understanding feelings of others and expressing himself and stuff. So we get, like, a lot of, like, petty kind of arguments between them and, like, little awkward moments. Like, the first argument they have in the thing is apparent, like, Mafuyu's been spending all this time with Kaji and Ugetsu and, you know, listening to music. And Ueniyama's like, hey, like, why didn't you message me? Like, I missed you. Like, I was worried about you. And you're spending all this time with Kaji.
Yeah, and, like, the thing Ueniyama specifically gets mad about is that Mafuyu doesn't understand why he would be mad about that. It's like, it's because I'm a jealous little baby, idiot. Though I do like that by the end of that argument, Ueniyama's like, what am I doing? And the literal line is, holy shit, I'm so lame. It's like, yeah, dude, you are. Like, come on. But yeah, this is basically just like, hey, I bet you wondered what Ueniyama and Mafuyu were up to during the events of the movie. Now that, like, you were starting to explain that, and I was like, oh, this really just is like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Forgiven. I'm like, hey, those two minor characters, what were they up to while the plot was going on? Because there's not a lot of substantial, like, plot stuff that happens. It's just a lot of, like, you know, like, there's a cute little bit of, like, presumably either the same, like, festival or a similar one that, like, Kaji and Haruki are, like, watching from their balcony. Like, Ueniyama and Mafuyu actually go to a summer festival and are, like, eating festival food and stuff, which is cute. Mafuyu wears a yukata, which Ueniyama was not emotionally prepared for. I love that in an anime.
That's the thing. Like, ain't cute is the right word for this thing, because, yeah, it's just like, oh, I didn't think you'd wear a yutaka, and, you know, or, like, oh, he's sleeping over at my place, like, oh, I can't, like, that's not okay, and, like, all this other stuff. I don't know, like, it's all very, it reminded me of Bloom Into You, because, like, they had similar things. Yes. In that, where it's like, oh, she looks so cute wearing this, and, oh, like, but they're staying over, oh, they're gonna have, like, the study scene, I think, when they come over kind of thing. So I was a little more invested in like the beginning of the relationship where they're like working through stuff. But this was a nice kind of like release from the series of just like, okay. And then, you know, you get them having a cute little time, and the you see the outcome of the CAC selection process, and they don't get selected, but instead see Sif, the Hiragi's band.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. It's C, I think, C is how you say it. It's S Y H. Do you know why it's called that?
Is that their initials?
Yes.
Makes sense.
It's Shizuzumi Yuki Hiragi. C Y H.
Which
shores by the
he's the one who's gonna date Hiragi.
Yeah, Shizuzumi. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't think he speaks in the OVA. No, he
doesn't, but that like Hiragi and Mafuyu have a scene where like they're both in their yukatas, because we learn Hiragi helped Mafuyu tie his yukata before he meets up with Ueniyama. And also I guess like extremely minor reveal that Hiragi's like family runs a flower shop, because we see that. but Mafia runs off to meet up with Ueniyama, and he's like, oh, and by the way, Hiragi, you need to get with Shizuzumi already, which I don't think is in the manga unless I'm misremembering, but it's very funny to just be like, all right, there's only two men left in this show to be paired up together, let's make it happen. But yeah, that's probably like the biggest plot detail, that his band wins the competition, which I do think in the movie they say that they lost. I think like in like when the time skip happened and Haruki's got like voiceover, he says like, well, we ended up losing the competition, but we kept practicing and yada, yada, yada. But they don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, no, it's not even like, we'll get him next time. Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah. You know, I think he says we didn't expect to win, but we also didn't expect to lose. So it just kind of happened. Like, it's like, either way, we would have been surprised.
Yeah. This one, unfortunately, not on Blu-ray, but I doubt it would have gotten the same TVMA rating that the movie did. A lot less action going on in this one compared to the movie. And we get the like uber stereotypical like, gay boys have to stay the night for logistical reasons, where it's like, well, we had band practice till late and opening ceremonies the next day, and I live closer to the school than Mafia does, so of course he has to stay over at my place. And then they don't even fucking do anything because Ueniyama's a Puritan.
Yeah, and Mafia is just like, oh, that's the same clock that Ugetsu had. Good night. Yeah, okay.
Hey, he doesn't go good night. They hug and like. I think this is like a little touching where like Ueniyama's like, you know, like I forget what he says, but it's basically like realizing like, oh, Mafia still hasn't like opened up all the way. You know, it's like, you know, they still got to like get to know each other more. I don't know.
Well, I like that Mafia, I think, like kind of like realizes like, oh, yeah, like we did just start dating. So like this could be something. So like he says like, oh, yeah, I guess this is kind of cavalier or like kind of a lot all at once, which is like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I think in Bloom Into You, what's her face? The One-sama lady was like, oh, why are you so upset? And part of it was her teasing her, but like, oh, why are you so upset? Da, 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 da. Whereas in this, Muffy's like, all right, well, yeah, my bad. I didn't think about how you'd feel, but you know, I'll sleep on the floor. You have a good one. I'll give you a hug.
Yeah. I guess I do have noted that. Maybe Shizuzumi has a line in this, because this does have the first scene where like Ueniyama's like properly introduced to Hiragi and Shizuzumi, instead of just that one time that like Mafia saw them on the street and then ran away. And we get the scene where they don't show the performance again, but they have like a scene where Mafia sings the lyrics to the song that they end up performing to Ueniyama on the stairs. And that's when he realizes like, oh, hey, this is a song about like entering into a new relationship and leaving the old one behind. It's about me, which is cute. And I talked about it before, like they redo the scene that they briefly show in the movie where it's like Ueniyama and Mafia like by a river after the first day of CAC. And they're just kind of talking, but it's like a little bit longer and it's shot differently. Like they didn't just reuse the same scene. It's like different storyboards, which I appreciate. I actually think overall, I kind of really like the direction on the OVA. And I was like, am I going crazy? This has to just have the same staff. It doesn't. Or at least the director is different. So same writer, same studio for this OVA, but the director is different. The director is Akio Ohashi.
Otsuka? Oh.
No, unfortunately. But they also did The Stranger by the Shore, which is another Blue Lynx produced BL movie. Did the OVA Sakura Capsule, doing the upcoming TV anime The Magical Girl and the Lieutenant Used to Be Arch Enemies, which is notable because it's also written by Yuniko Ayana, who wrote the Given anime scripts. And then they also directed a few episodes of Bungo Stray Dogs. But I really liked the direction on this. I don't know if they're involved in the second movie or if it's back to the director for the original TV series and movie. I didn't look that up. It looks like it's the same as the TV series. But I like the direction on this OVA. I thought it was really good. Oh, and then this one we have like a post-credit scene as well. Maybe this is what you're thinking of, Danny. Because this one has the post-credit scene of Kaji and, or I guess it's just Kaji, like, asking Ueniyama and Mafia for permission to date Haruki.
Oh, yeah, I love that scene. Yeah. Yeah. Literally the reverse thing of last time, yeah.
Yeah, and Ueniyama just losing his shit.
Everyone can be mommy and daddy to ask. It's just a cycle of mommy and daddy.
I think you would have gotten this a little bit more if, like, the OVA and the movie were combined, but, like, you definitely see, like, Mafuyu and Ueniyama, like, starting to be, like, more of a voice in the band compared to, like, where things are at in the original TV series, where it is, like, the Haruki and Kaji mommy-daddy show.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, lip service given to, like, that of, like, multiple people say to Mafuyu specifically, like, oh, you're expressing yourself a lot more. You've changed a lot in a good way.
Yeah. I think the line in the OVA is like watching him take to music is like filling a swimming pool up or something like that. Of just like he's empty, but he's got like so much like room to grow.
Yeah. Damn. All good stuff. I really liked this series. You know, I was a little up and down on the movie, but that was not the movie's fault. I was like, oh, come on, do better kind of thing, which you kind of want from a character of like, oh, you could be so much better than this. But it was a good time, and I had a good time. I liked it.
I'm not saying you have to, but I bet you would get a lot out of a rewatch, especially with the dub, hearing that you didn't get to watch the dub the first time.
And I may actually read the manga as well at some point. I am interested in it.
Definitely liking the manga better than the anime due to pacing things, but I'm very particular with that in general.
Yeah, see, I'm in the, you know, having read 80-90% of the manga at this point because I'm just waiting for that last volume. Like, watching these movies or the movie in the OVA and rewatching the series is more or less just like, you know, like, oh, I like this story. I'm having a good time because I know the story. Definitely think the manga is probably a stronger first experience than the anime overall, but there's good stuff there either way. But yeah, I was like itching to like reread it after rewatching all this and watching the movie and OVA, but I think I'm gonna wait until that last volume comes out and reread it all from start to finish, because that's out in August, I think, which feels like a long time to wait, but it'll be here before you know it. It's how time goes.
I know it'll make you dry heave, but I did see that there are fan translations for it.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. But
yeah,
I will wait. I'm patient. Mm. I got other things to read. I got way too many other things to read, so I'm good. And also, like, there's the movie, so hopefully that second movie gets an English release before long. I think it was about, like, a six-month difference between the first one coming out in Japan and then coming out in America, so... Hopefully it won't be much longer. That just came out in January, so maybe by the time the final volume of the manga is out in English, that'll be out too. It should be cool.
Yeah, I'm also waiting for the official translation.
Yeah, they're good, so it's like, you know, why not?
I'll really only read fan subs if it's something I really want to keep up with week to week. Because I do think it's like kind of a flaw of the, at least, U.S., manga industry, where they just do not have a lot of stuff being like simul translated, which really hurts discussion of a lot of things, because at least to me a lot of discussion about manga happens when you get like one chapter a month, one chapter a week. I just, because there's like so many series that get like officially licensed and don't have fan subs that nobody fucking talks about because of the irregular release schedule like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like the serial publication industry much stronger in Japan than it is here, whereas like a lot of the manga people are going to read are going to be, you know, volumes they pick up at like Barnes and Noble. Like that's still a huge market for people reading manga here, whereas there's, do they still publish, like, because I used to buy it as a kid, do they still publish in English like Shonen Jump magazines? Can you still buy
no
those?
They have an app now with it's like a,
I know they have the app,
$3 a month,
because I've been subscribed for a couple times and then go like, hey, wait a minute, I never use this, let me cancel this. But I don't know if they still did like a physical magazine, which is a shame. I think I gave away all of those. I had like dozens of those, and they'd come with Yu-Gi-Oh cards every month. like promo Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I don't know, I also feel like I'd get advertised to so many things in those that I just didn't know existed, like video game spinoffs that I just don't know how I ever would have known about if I didn't see a Shonen Jump ad for it. It's like, oh my god, they're making a Bleach video game. Man, didn't realize how nostalgic I was for those until just bringing that up now. That's funny. All right. I feel like I had another thing to say before we capped off on this, but I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me. Oh, I guess I was thinking that it is funny that neither of these were named after a British rock band songs.
Oh, true.
So we were safe from that. Unless there has to be a song called On the Other Hand, because that's the, you know, OVA's name, but I doubt that's intentional if there is. But yeah.
Could have been like I Melt With You. That's like a, would be apt, I think.
Unfortunately, there's no British rock band with a song called Messy Bitches That Live for Drama. yet, I guess, you know, Blur, if you're listening. Anyway, I forget the order I do it in. If I should ask you, Danielle, what your pick is, or if we should talk about what other anime we're watching. But I'm just going to say we should talk about what other anime we're watching so we can hold the suspense, because I'm curious. I'll put in my notes like, oh, this is what else I'm watching so I remember, but I don't think I watched much because I didn't take notes. Oh, I do have one thing, or maybe two. I watched the first episode of Boom Onger. Did I get that right? I keep forgetting if that's right or not. Oh no, Boon Boomger, which is the newest Super Sentai show. I guess I also watched the finale of Osama Sentai King Oger, which was good. Really liked that. Apparently it's so wild not being on Twitter, but also not being on very specific parts of Twitter, because apparently there's a whole thing where like some actor tweeted about there being or needing to be like a director's cut version of the final three episodes of that show, and then people got in like a social media frenzy like begging Toei to make it, and then they were like, hey, or not Toei, Toho, and then they were like, oh, we're making that. It's like a thing. Like, you didn't need to beg us to make it. We are doing a director's version. But anyway, the finale was really good. Like, the last several episodes of that show were really good. Which means it's time for a new Super Sentai. Full title is Bakuage Sentai Boon Boomger, which is a great name if you speak English, I guess. but it's very fun. You should look up the... people listening, y'all as well, should look up the suit designs whenever you get a chance, especially the helmets. The helmets are literally just like tires, but it's like the, you know, like the rim of the tire facing forward as the eyes. They're very,
oh my god,
I like weird I'll copy this image. I really like weird Sentai suit designs, and so far the characters are really fun. Danny, I hate to say this because it might oversell the show or the first episode for you, but part of me was getting Time Taxi vibes very first episode in the loosest sort of way. But I was like, oh, this is like a little bit different for like a first episode of Sentai. I don't know. I really liked it. So
like,
excited
kinda
to
like
spend.
Comedic or?
There's a little bit of that. I guess like the thing for me that felt Time Taxi-ish is that it starts off with the Red Ranger stealing, who ends up being the Pink Ranger by the end of it, from like her wedding, like taking her away from a wedding, to apparently like he's apparently paid by her actual boyfriend to steal her away from this like forced marriage she's about to go into so that they can run off together. But the end of the episode is her realizing, hey, I don't really love that guy either. I want to be a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
which also feels very Time Taxi. Like, oh, you didn't know the thing you actually wanted until you got abducted by the Red Boom Boomger. So very, very fun first episode. And then I also watched, this is animation because it's puppet animation. I watched The Dark Crystal last night. Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal. That movie's still sick. I got the 4K of it. Looks great. Love all the little weird guys in that movie. That's just a movie full of weird little guys. There's like a fantasy plot happening. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Weird guys. So I had a great time with that. Danny, what are you watching? Or if you are watching things?
I've not been watching much of anything. I've been playing through a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh games.
That's like anime.
Yeah. Well, especially because it's Yu-Gi-Oh Legacy of the Duelist or Duelist Legacy, which is basically like in the single player, you can play through every single anime and they have like basically like little VN recreations of each scene. And it's really, really good. It's like, oh man, I do remember. Like, I remember when Kaiba threatened to throw himself from the castle so that
Hell yeah.
Oh, I love
I will
all this
kill
shit.
Myself if you don't let me win this duel.
Exactly. So I've been playing a lot of that. That's mostly it. Also wanted to mention here, because it was in my head all of today for some reason, the Chala Head Shella.
Oh,
So quick mention of Akira Toriyama's passing. Deeply saddened by it. Best to ever do it, like for real. Really touching on Twitter to see like all the tributes to him and all the people saying like, you know, I got into drawing because of him. So you know, rest in peace, amazing artist.
Danielle, what have you been watching?
I haven't finished anything. I've just been continuing with stuff. I'm still mad about the name Cure Friendy.
Wow, some of us are weak. Ever since you said that, I cheer every time she says Cure Friendy. I'm like, let's go, it's Cure Friendy.
It's not even friendly, it's friendly. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah, it's good.
I hate it. I started the Final Fantasy VII Remake 2.
Oh.
Enjoying it so far, but I've mostly just been reading Forsen web fiction in my free time. So, yeah, nothing new.
All right. Well, speaking of new, what is our new show that we'll be watching next time now that we're wrapping on Given?
We're doing Bocchi the Rock. I have some feelings about how they handle the band stuff in Given, and it'll be interesting to compare it to a show that is much more of a comedy than a drama. And I also think it's just, like, an incredible production, probably one of the best adaptations of... Oh god, was that a late 22 show? I think it was.
That was definitely last year, right? That was 23?
I think it was fall 22.
Damn. Well, find out next time when I do the research.
Yeah, it's fall 22.
Oh, wow. How many episodes is that?
12.
Okay, I thought so. I just wasn't sure if maybe it was long enough that it, like, ran over into 2023, but wow, time flies. Well, I'm excited because that's been on my list to watch since it finished, especially because it's the same director as the Frieren adaptation, which has really good production, so I was like, oh, like, I'll check that out.
Yeah, but this time they adapted a source material that's better.
I mean, hey, Frieren's good until like it's not.
Frieren's good until it decides, hey, let's just be every other fantasy series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. We're doing next time because that'll be over. So oh yeah, six and six, I guess.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, and then we'll be time for a one-off episode after that. I'll have to think about. All right. Well, I guess that does it for this time. Until next time, you can find us on Twitter at Under the Kotatsu or on co-host at Under the Kotatsu. Remember to rate us on your podcast platform of choice. You can find me on Twitter, or no, not on Twitter. You can find me on co-host at Chai. Where can people find you, Danny?
You can find me, I guess, on Twitter, but like, I'm not really active there, at Cover Me in Sauce.
And where can people find you, Danielle?
I am Yuri Bunny on Tumblr or Blue Sky.
Nice. All right.
Just one N. That's how you spell bunny.
So I'm told. Well, until next time, Danielle, why don't you take us out of here?
Be crimes, do you gay, and I'm going to destroy the anime industry for the realities of splitting up an entire arc into 60 minutes and 30 minutes, respectively.